couple weeks ago, we began a series, Secrets to Supernatural Peace. And for the very first lesson, we spent the entire time on salvation. Folks, listen to me. Until you receive Christ as your Savior, you know what? You're never going to have the peace that passeth all understanding. Philippians chapter 4, if you look in verse number 4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so let's pray. We'll get into the lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to teach the Bible. And Lord, thank you for all that you did in my heart this week, Lord. I pray that some of the overflow of that would be a blessing to our people in the today and in the weeks ahead. And Lord, thank you for this subject of peace. Lord, we live in a world of such turmoil and restlessness. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us in the midst of all of this to just experience, to be able to have that peace of God in our hearts, the peace that passeth understanding. Lord, as we study the Bible, even as Christians, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one, I'm not just review it real quick. Peace is a blessing bestowed upon the people of God. Psalms 29:11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And of course, his people. Well, there are two distinct groups of people identified in the Bible when it comes to salvation. That's true back then, it's true today. You know, there's no middle ground. You're either saved or you're lost. And you know what? I think all of us can look back and remember when we got saved. And how many of us experienced this? And I know that salvation isn't feelings, but I've never seen anybody get saved that didn't have a few of them. And one of the things that I think I remember is that there was like this big burden lifted off, you know, and where I used to wonder and lay awake nights thinking about eternity and fearful of sin, and preacher would preach on the rapture and I wouldn't sleep half the night. And, you know, there was no peace. And the Bible says, you know, the old prophet said, there's no peace to the wicked, you know. And then when I got saved, I can remember this. I mean, you know, when I got saved when I was 5, listen, folks, there's a lot of the distinct memories of that, you know, come on, 61 years old, how much are you going to remember in defined detail? But I do remember this. I remember after I got saved, I remember going out of the church, and then there was this tree that all of us climbed because it was the climbing tree. And I think every church needs a climbing tree. I think every grandma and grandpa needs to have a climbing tree so your grandkids have something to do, and they can fall out and break their arm or do something, you know, and toughen them up a little bit. But I can remember climbing that tree. I can remember hanging upside down from a limb by my legs and looking at the world upside down, and yet hanging there just feeling like I was floating in air and just feeling like a burden had been lifted off. And just for the first time in my life, I think I experienced as a 5-year-old boy what it means when the Bible talks about the peace of God that passeth understanding. And if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, I'm not going to reteach this, but I want to pause long enough because salvation's a big deal. I mean, it's eternity, folks. So if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you say, preacher, boy, I wish I had that kind of peace. I wish I knew. You know, I think I put on the sign. We changed the sign out, the marquee out there, and on one sign it says, if you died today, are you sure that you would go to heaven? And to be able to know that, 100% sure, and have the peace of God about eternity, that no matter what happens in this earth or what crazy thing happens that is out of my control, or, you know, whether I live through the day or whether I don't, you know what? There's one thing I don't have to worry about is I've settled eternity. You know, one of the old black preachers said, you are either a saint or you ain't. And so, you know what? Make sure that you're saved. And so that's our first point. Now, I want you to go to Psalms 85, verse number 8. So if we'll go to the Psalms, we'll look at a couple of verses over there, Psalms 85, 8. You say, preacher, yes, you know, being saved brings a measure of peace, especially when it has to do with eternity. But that doesn't mean that as Christians, we can lose that peace of God Not maybe concerning eternity, but there's other things that come into our life that steal the peace, rob us of the peace that we ought to have. So we're going to now direct all of the other points, secrets to supernatural peace. We're going to look at some things that will help us as Christians maintain that peace of God. In Psalms 85, if you'll look in verse number 8, Psalms 85 and verse number 8, we read this. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Now, notice this. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. So the words of God brings peace. Let's look at Psalms 119. By the way, isn't this chapter such a blessing to us as Christians? Psalms 119, verse 165, talks about the Word of God. Of course, this entire psalm emphasizes the Word of God and talks about the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God. And so peace, we're talking about peace coming from hearing the words of God. In Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So peace comes from hearing and loving the Word of God. And folks, listen to me. What I've found out is Christians that spend a lot of time in this book, there's just kind of a tranquility that possesses them. There's a peace. If you're going through a time where you're like, preacher, I'm dealing with anxiety, or I'm dealing with depression, or I'm dealing with just I'm going through a tough time and I kind of feel like I've lost the peace of God in my life, my recommendation is that you spend extra time that day and in the days ahead just reading the Word of God. And it's all good. But I will tell you this, I think the book of Psalms has brought me such a measure of peace in the last 8 months with what the Lord's asked me to walk through. I probably spent more time in the book of Psalms than I have any other book in the Bible. There's just something about the Psalms that minister peace to your heart when you're going through difficult times and difficult situations. And so, preacher, I'm not even sure where to go. Just open it up to the Psalms and just keep reading. Most of them are pretty short. And if you don't find one, the first two or three or four that ministers to you, keep reading. You won't read very many of them, and you'll start finding that the Lord starts taking that, you know, salve and putting it on your soul and in your heart. And folks, this isn't just something that a preacher always says. This is something that really works. Right. How many times, preacher, do you say the same thing about read the Bible, get into the Bible? This is the benefit of it. This is the benefit of it. This is the benefit of it. Folks, listen, if you aren't in the Bible on a regular basis, then you're robbing yourself of some things that God wants to be able to minister to you in. And, well, I'm busy, and I've only got so much time. I get that. Aren't we blessed that we have technology now available to us that I can get in my car? And, you know, when I'm out doing my door-to-door, when I'm out doing my operation occupation visitation, you know what? I have one or two things playing in the truck. And I'll either have sermons. Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about that this morning. Sermons, you know, playing because, you know, you say, preacher, I hear four messages a week. Well, I don't. I preach four messages a week. I guess technically I hear them, you know. But, you know, if you're giving out, you know what? You better be taking in something. So I listen to a lot of preaching because everyone needs preaching. Amen. And then I will also spend some time just let the Word of God, just let it play. And I don't turn it off when I go to the house and I pull up into the parking lot or the driveway and I open the door. I always leave the door open, the truck and the truck running. You know, one of these days I'm going to look around and somebody's going to steal my truck. But, you know, but I always do. I do it on purpose for two reasons. If there's a really mean dog, I want to be able to get back in that truck without having to mess with the door. So, and in this area, that's always a possibility, all right? And so I leave it open for that reason. And this might seem like a subtle thing, but I leave it open so that when the person comes to the door, they see the truck running and the door open. They're more prone to step out on the step and talk to you because they don't think you're staying very long. You know, he obviously just stopped in, his truck's running, the door's open, he's not going to talk very long. Well, yeah, I am, if they'll let me, but try to send a signal about that. And then, but you know what, I'll have the Word of God playing in there. Well, you're out of the truck, and then you get back in, and you missed part of it. I know, but I also catch part of it. I missed part of the messages, but I catch part of it. And so, you know, I just think having, come on, preaching, playing, having the Word of God playing. All right, enough of the Fox News. No, that's one of the reasons you've lost your peace. I don't mind you catching up on what's going on a little bit here and there, but man, I've known Christians 6, 8, 10 hours a day, they're listening to Fox News. I'd lose my mind if I listened. Besides that, it's all the same stories repeated over and over. How many perspectives do you need, you know? I don't really need people telling me what I need to think about what's going on. I just want to know what's going on. How about that? Believe it or not, I can think for myself. I think the world has forgotten that Americans really can think for themselves. And just, you know what, have good Christian music playing. Think about this in your home. Have the Word of God playing. And have good preaching in your life. If you have those three things going on a regular basis, you're going to be surprised what it does to just bring peace into your life. And so eliminate the things that bring turmoil. And you know what? Bring in the things that are going to bring peace. And our point here, Psalms 119, 165, great peace. We're talking about wanting to get to that peace that passeth all understanding level. How about the great peace level? You know, great peace have they which love thy law. Someone wrote this. I'm going to read it about the Bible, the Holy Bible. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of the believer. Its precepts are binding, its history is true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be saved. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map and the Christian's character. Here is paradise restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell closed. Christ is the grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It will reward the greatest seeker and condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. It is the book, the book of books, the book of life, the book of God, and it contains the revelation of God to man. Reading and believing this book will terrify the devil, stupefy the scorner, mystify the world, pacify the fearful, ratify the covenant, edify the church, and glorify the Savior. Because it lifts up the Prince of Peace above all, this book will provide you with peace, peace for the journey, peace of mind, peace in turmoil, peace in the storm, peace that passeth all understanding, and eventually it will one day restore peace on earth. Folks, I just gave you what I think is one of the greatest recommendations of why you ought to read the Bible. And everything I just read is available every day to every single one of us. But you know what? Watch this. I've said it before. The devil is not scared of that. He is scared of that. And what's so sad, as I mentioned it, I think in my prayer, before I dismiss the kids, but folks, there are people all around this world that would give anything to have one copy of this book. There are Christians gathering in secret in communist countries that maybe only have 2 or 3 or 4 pages of the Bible. That's all they have. And they gather every week and they read them over and over and over and over because that's all they have. There's some people that all they have is a John and Romans that came from America, and they literally read it and touch it and weep over it till they faded the words out. And I think when maybe, you know, and you say, oh, preacher, you're trying to put us on a guilt trip. I'm not. I am trying to help us this morning. It's a shame for American Christians to have access to this book and just spend so little time in it. And so if you want the peace of God, then you know what? Get in the book. Here's some questions. Watch this. Do you have the peace of God this morning? I mean, did you walk in this morning with the peace that passeth all understanding? Preacher, I don't. Well, let me ask you something. Do you hear the Bible? How much time did you listen to it this week? How much time did you read it this week? Have you worked at all at trying to memorize a verse? Do you embrace its truths? Do you hunger for its precepts? Do you seek to live it out in your daily life? Here, I'm going to say it again. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And I've noticed this as people that spend a lot of time in the book and love the book, it's really hard to offend them. Right. It really is. It's hard to offend them. People that are always taking offense, always upset about something, I mean, they can't come to church for one Sunday without going home offended about something. Well, let me tell you what your problem is. You don't love the book. If you love the book, it would be hard to offend you. If you really love the book, it'd be impossible to offend you. Because, folks, listen to me. Once you understand the Bible, you begin to understand yourself. Listen, when you understand the Bible, you begin to understand other people. Instead of being offended by other people, you know what? Pray for other people. Okay, well, somebody said something. Somebody did something. Well, like, you have never done that?
Right.
You've never said something you shouldn't have said or done something you shouldn't have done? And once you get into this book, it just shines a big, bright spotlight on you and on other people. And you get a sense of, come on, grace and mercy.
Amen.
In your dealing with people.
Right.
You know, somebody says something that could be taken as offensive to me. You know, I'm just going to refuse to be offended. You know, I love them. I love this book. I love God. I know Jerry Ross. I know what I'm like in my worst state. Come on. And, you know, we walk around holding an offense against somebody else when the honest truth is, if we took a look in our own lives, there's more than enough that we need to work on ourselves. And so just fall in love with the book. You know, I spent a little extra time on this, but man alive, if we go by this one and we don't do this one, I'm not sure all the other ones I'm going to give you is going to help much. Because this is where you will find peace. The truths of this book will help you through tough times. You know, you think about a verse as simple as, all things work together for good to them that love God. And you get that verse and you get it in your heart and you believe it and you fall in love with it. It's truth and precepts. It doesn't say all things are good, but it says all things work together for good. Then you go out into life and something bad happens. And instead of letting that bad thing rob you of peace, you've got a biblical precept that helps put it in perspective. Okay, that wasn't a good thing. This is a bad thing. But wait a minute. God can take bad things and allow them to be worked together for good in my life. So I guess I can get upset at people, I can get upset at a circumstance, or I can just trust the Lord and say, okay, if God allowed that, he's going to work it together for good in some way. So, you know, that one simple biblical principle kept me from going off the deep end and reacting in an unbiblical fashion to something that's going to happen every day of your life. Get used to it, okay? Not every day is going to be perfect, and not everybody's going to be right, and not everyone's going to be kind, and not every circumstance is going to be good, but all things can work together for just that one thing. I call it believing in the eventual good. It's a biblical mindset that once you have, you just don't get thrown off by every little thing that happens, and you don't take offense at every little thing that happens. Love the precepts and principles of God. It'll build your faith in God and his ability to take everything in life and work it together for his good. And so even though things have come into my life and your life that we don't understand, and we would rather they not be there, you know what? There's a part of me that just says, hey, God's in control. And so I hope that's a help to you. Let's move on, okay? Let's cover another one. Let's go to Psalms 4, verse 8. Isn't it interesting? I think you're going to find it's interesting how much time we spend in the book of Psalms. That's why I said if you're struggling in this area, and we do, so listen, look right up here. Some people more than others. And I'm not throwing stones at you. I'm just saying some people battle certain things and fight, I think, harder against having to deal with a level of depression and anxiety and different things. You know, it's just a fact. You know, well, that means you're going to need a little more medicine. Not Ritalin.
Right.
Not anything the doctor can prescribe. How about this? Okay, you're going to have times in your life where you just battle it more. And so Psalms chapter 4, verse 8, look at this. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Now, how is he able to do that? For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in, what's the next word? Safety. Peace comes from understanding that safety comes from the Lord. Now, what's one of our big peace robbers? And, you know, there's no off switch on the mama thing. You know, and ladies, I'm glad there's not. You know, my mom never stopped being my mom. You know, here I am. She, you know, passes away. I'm in my late 50s, and she's still worried about her little boy. She still comes to me and says, "You look tired." Mom, I'm always tired. You've said that every time you've seen me for the last 20 years. I live tired because I'm a busy person. I know, but you need to take better care of yourself. There's no off switch on the mama thing. You know, there's not a mama in here, you know, whether your kids are this big or this big, there's no mama in here that doesn't spend a certain amount of time worrying about your children, you know, and that's a maternal instinct because, you know, God created you to care for them and watch over them and take care of them. And so, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But one of the things that helps us because, you know, here they grow up on you. And now you've got to send this little baby girl off and you're not there every day to make sure. And so have you packed your bag and enrolled? No, I'm talking to Mandy. Have you enrolled in Bible college with her? He's sending Jonathan. Wow. Now I've got anxiety all of a sudden, you know. So, yeah, she'll be fine. Jonathan's going to watch over the situation. Let's all pray for Ella. Please, let's pray for Ella. But you know, all of a sudden they get to a certain age, and, you know, I've got a Shaylee that attends church here, you know, shows up at our house the other day and is holding up a piece of paper, and she's got her driver's permit now. And I'm thinking, oh, no, you know, something else to give me gray hair, something else to worry about. And, you know, you watch them pull out for the first time. They're going by themselves in a car. You watch them go off to college. You watch them. And folks, listen to me. As much as we'd like to do this our whole lives with them, you know, there's a process that happens as they're growing up where we have to release them to the will of God and trust in him to take care of them. And, you know, safety comes from the Lord. Listen, we should use common sense. Man, my girls can repeat the lectures they had to endure almost word for word from their dad, and they should hear them. Because, listen, young people, listen, you know what? You're in control till you're not. And a lot of times you hit that 18, 19, 20, and you kind of think you're invincible. And let me tell you, this is a wicked, mean, nasty world where real life bad things happen every day. And it's increasing. And that's why I think, yeah, do we need to use common sense? Yes. Okay. We don't need to say safety is of the Lord as we run off the edge of a cliff and dive into a 300-foot gully. Okay. You know, yeah, God's going to safely take you to heaven once you land. Okay. You know, it's not talking about stupidity here. Common sense. You know, making sure you use common sense. I mean, I had our girls taking them to a mall, and when they were driving, said, okay, I'll pretend I'm not in the car. Now you're by yourself. Where are you going to park? Now, what are you going to do when you get out? What's the first thing you're going to do? You know, and as you're walking towards the mall, where are you looking? Not at your device. Oblivious to everything around you. Okay, you'll end up in the back of somebody's van. You know, I mean, you know, yeah, I'm that guy. And we should teach our children. We've got to be alert, and we've got to use good sense, and we've got to build in protections. But as much as I'd like to do that, there comes this point in time where I just have to say, safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. You know, there's so many things. I'll tell you what, I one time went to a CLA conference with, you know, Dr. David Gibbs. This has been probably 10, 12 years ago. If you ever go to one of them and you're a pastor and you sit for 4 hours and listen to everything that your church can be sued for, all the liabilities, all of the different potential dangers, all of the stories. I mean, after 4 hours, you just walk out and you want to come home and shut down every ministry and just shut down your church because, you know, now, again, should we build in common sense thing? Yeah, should we build protection? Should we? But folks, listen, if we lived in a spirit of fear, we wouldn't reach out and do anything for the Lord.
Right.
You know, I see these young families come through on deputation. And you know what? They bring these sweet little children in with them. And, you know, they're going to Siberia. They're going to India. And the grandpa in me just, honestly, I'm telling you, the grandpa in me wants to pull off the side and say, listen, you need to stay in America. You're crazy taking these little babies over to India, Siberia. That's the grandpa part of me. But the preacher part of me says, you know what? You need to go do what God's called you to do. And parents, listen to me. There's a real possibility that some of our kids are going to end up being called to the mission field. And if that happens, you can't let a spirit of fear cause you to be the one that tries to stop the will of God for life or talk them out of that or discourage them from it. But that's easy to say. But I've been at these airports and watched them say goodbye, their goodbyes. I've watched them carry those little babies on the plane where they're flying to one of these third world countries. And you know what, folks? Again, we do everything and should do everything possible. But listen, aren't you glad safety is of the Lord? Go to Psalms 55. Psalms 55. Let's read another verse about it. I think we might need two verses on this. Maybe some more. Psalms 55. And look, if you will, at verse number 18. Psalms 55, 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. There were many with me. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. God's going to have you stand up and have to fight some things. Take a stand over some things. And you know what? When you have to enter the battle, come on, that's why the Bible talks about putting on the armor of God. Brother Tony, it is good to see you. I have prayed so much for you. And isn't that a blessing? Let's just stop and say amen, all right? You know, you're going through your crazy stuff. I'm going through my crazy stuff. I'm talking to Eric and the Harrison. You know, he wasn't here last Sunday because he had a bad weekend. Keep praying for him. So, you know, we just, you know, exciting to see all of us getting back in church. Amen. That's a blessing. But he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. There's times that you're going to have to stand up for the Lord. You're going to have to take a stand. There's times God's going to call you to go into battle. And, you know, folks, that can be spiritual battle. And we can just stop here and talk about our armed forces for a few minutes too. Amen. Let's not forget to pray for our veterans. Let's not forget to pray for those that are serving in the military, okay? Because this is can be very real, or it can be interpreted on a spiritual level, applied on a spiritual level. But either way, you know what? God can give you give you peace in your soul, even though the battle is raging against you. For there were many with me. You say, well, that means a bunch of people. No, sometimes you're all alone. But you know what? God's with you. And if it's you and God, come on, it's a majority. Holy Spirit's with you. Come on, Jesus Christ is with you. We could go to places in the Bible and show you. I mean, the different ways God protects us. God protects you in your childhood. How about this? I'll read some verses. Matthew 18, 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Their angels. You know, where do we get this thought of you know, guardian angels and our children being watched over by angels? We get it from this verse, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. God protects you in your childhood. Come on, think back. If we could have testimony time, we could have nothing but probably an hour of close calls or should have, would have, could have, of things, you know, dumb things we did. Yeah. Dumb things we did. One of the little postcards that I keep in my office that I just pull out and laugh at every once in a while is a picture of two boys, and they've got a little wagon, and they've tied it to a horse, and they're sitting in the wagon, and the boy in the front has a slingshot pulled back like this, and he's getting ready to hit that horse in the opposite of the front end, and they're going to go for a ride. You look at a picture like that and you think, what are they thinking? Here's the answer. They're not. They're not. I think of how many things I did as a boy, and I think back later on, what was I thinking? We weren't thinking. You know what? Somebody just went, I got an idea, and we all went, yeah, let's try it, you know? And yeah, aren't you glad? I think when I get to heaven, my guardian angel is going to walk up and slap me right in the face. I don't know. God protects you and your child. Aren't you glad God takes care of those children? I got a picture of that car that was upside down. Miss Beth was driving on the way to church, and all of them babies, come on, upside down in the ditch right down the road from where we live, brother. And I mean, my heart literally stopped when I saw that picture. And you know what? Every one of them crawled out of there. And I think Richard had a little scrape or scratch. And besides that, all the rest of them were, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God protects you in your adulthood. Aren't you glad about that? Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And again, that talks about us taking time to make sure we're prepared and taking precautions and all of this. But folks, you know, we should take, again, every measure we can to try to make sure that, you know, we're using good sense and we're not setting ourselves up for something bad to happen. But when it boils right down to it, I can only control so many things. Safety is of the Lord. Right. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Oh, I'm glad that my protection is of the Lord. You know, I watch our Bible college students. I talk to Samuel, you know, text him. Most Sunday mornings we text back and forth. And he's going up where I used to go up to every Saturday and every Sunday morning. He's going up to inner city Chicago. Folks, you don't want to read in the paper too much about what's going on in inner city Chicago. And yet we've got our kids working on in inner city Chicago ministries right now, going to Bible college. And so I'll text him sometimes, say, man, have a great day. Try not to get killed. That's what I'll text him. It's kind of our running inner joke, you know. And, you know, hey, preacher, do you worry? No, I pray. I think back of what we used to do and where we used to go and some of the situations we got ourselves into. And I can tell you this, safety is of the Lord. Amen. And, you know, I talk about, well, we need to go into the devil's backyard and steal his children. Well, that sounds good, except the devil's not always so happy about that. And you go into the devil's backyard, you got to go into sometimes some dangerous situations. And so aren't you glad that the Lord is a strong tower? Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. What are you saying? I'm saying this, folks, if we're controlled by fear, then we're going to be snared. And we won't do anything for the Lord because there's potential for disaster or danger in almost any situation of ministry outreach. You know, we take our teenagers out here. When I used to take our young people out here soul winning, you know, I'd send a couple of girls off one side of the road. And usually what I tried to do is anytime I sent kids down the road, I'd send two girls on one side of the road to knock doors and two of our guys on the other side. Just because, hey, we say, preacher, it's small town America. Bad things happen in small town America. And it's happening on an increasing basis. I tell our young men, you keep an eye on the young ladies. That's good training for them anyway, amen? You keep an eye on the young ladies. If they get caught in the door and you get too far ahead, you know, and you get to the point where you could lose sight of them, then you back up and you wait. Preacher, I need to hit some more doors. You know, no, you wait. And you watch over these young ladies, and when they get done and they get caught up with you, then you go. And what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying let's use good sense. Okay, yeah, let's use good sense. But at the same time, if we stopped doing everything that there was a potential for something bad to happen, then we wouldn't do anything for the Lord. Right. And so you've got to step out by faith. You've got to trust the Lord. God protects you in your childhood. He protects you in your adulthood. Hey, let me help some of our senior saints as I close. God protects you in your senior years. Oh, I love these verses. Psalms 37:25, and some of you young people aren't going to understand it. You'll understand it one day if the Lord tarries, but I will tell you, as I begin to get into the very, very, very young years of my old age, I'm really kind of still I haven't reached the front door yet. I'm not even to the foyer of it, but as I I'm saying that for my benefit, not for yours. But these verses come, and I will tell you, I sit with our senior saints, and it's a fact. You know, there's more things that you tend to worry about the older you get. There's more uncertainties. There's more real-life things you have to deal with. Hey, this body starts betraying you. And, you know, you're just more susceptible to things that you used to not even think anything about. And here's some good verses. Psalms 37:25. I love this verse. If you're a senior saint. Hey, I went to a family table yesterday, took Shaylee and Cheryl. Was it yesterday or the day before? I don't remember. Friday, I think. How many know where the family table is off I-70 exit? And first time in my life I've ever ordered off the senior menu. You know, I was so torn. You know, there's the cheapskate part of me that wants a good deal, but then there's this prideful part of me that doesn't want to admit that I'm a senior yet, but I was going to save like $4 on the meal anyway, so I just wanted to, yeah. I'm slowly beginning to embrace the idea. Psalms 37:25. I love this. Listen to this. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And you know what? When you're 25, that verse might not mean as much to you as when you're, you know what, 55, 65, 75. How about Psalm 71:18? Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O Lord, listen, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. And you know, you got a great opportunity in your old age to be a great witness for the Lord, to be a testimony for a younger generation. And this prayer comes from David in his older years. Now let me read it again, thinking about that. Psalm 71:18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, listen, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that has come. I just want to say a quick thank you as we're closing to our senior saints that are battling a lot of health issues and are having a tough time. And I'm watching Sister Eileen on one side and Brother Eric on the other side getting Miss Esther into church this morning. I just watched somebody help Brother John get into church this morning. And you know what? You may think, well, preacher, some days it'd just be easier to stay home. And it would be for them. It would be for them. And, you know, but you know what? That when they come into church, it sends a message to a young generation. You know, when I watch Sister Jean get into church, come on, you've seen the Dively's. And it may not be as obvious with some of our older folks as it is with others, but I can promise you, come on, how many times you've seen Sister Dolores Clay, you know, just all she can do to make it into church. And sometimes there's others that it may not be as obvious, but folks, listen to me, you don't have no idea what it took for them just to get ready to go to church. You know, when you're young, you don't think about these things, but literally, you know, have to get dressed in shifts. You know, but stand up, put your shirt on, button your shirt, and have to sit down and catch your breath. This is the reality of people that show up every week at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, and, well, preacher, you know, I don't feel like I'm contributing much. Please listen to what I'm saying. You are a testimony, and you are an encouragement. You have an opportunity to show God's strength to a younger generation. And I promise you, your life is a testimony. Your life is a sermon. So hang in there and keep being faithful to the Lord. Well, we got to close. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.